I'm going to have to stick really close with my notes today, and the reason I'm saying that is because of how perfectly it's the part two message of Alan's part one message at 8:30. And to the point that I tremble to leave it, because I see how perfectly God has laid this out today. And Alan and I don't talk at all about these things. You know, we have no idea what he's going to preach on. My prayer is just that when I'm first, I get to use all his scripture. And I know he's doing the same thing when it's my turn. And this will stay on the message today. I want to try and remember, I'm not a pastor. I have to be careful. I'm more of a teacher. I'll wrap your knuckles. You fall asleep in my class now, you know. Now, Sue always trembles when I say that, but it's the truth anyhow. Alan has more of a pastoral type gift than I have. I think that's pretty obvious. So I'm not going to, a teacher sometimes, if you don't do your homework, there's consequences. Now, I'm not going to do that today. And I'm not going to be mean about it. But I am going to tell you this. Let your love flow, Lord. Many of you are not taking seriously the season that we're in. That means you won't be here soon. Is that clear enough? Now, there's times when the Lord is, when you need a hug. And there's times when you need a kick in the rear. Today is kicking the rear time. You're not taking it serious. And don't think he doesn't notice. And I could give a rip what you think about me. I just tell you the truth. I'm serious. I like to be like anybody else. But, man, I died to that a long time ago. You can not like me, and I'll have a great day. As long as the Lord likes me. He likes me when I tell what he wants me to tell. Gary, how can you say that? I'm here on Fridays and Saturdays, and I see who's here and who's not. Aren't you all glad you came today, Aunt? See, well, I'm praying at home. Good. He's also told us to pray corporately. Now, this Friday, I wasn't here. It was my birthday. Okay, I'm taking that as an out. But the rest of them, I've been here. Anybody that's been here knows I've been here. Saturdays, I've been here as much as I can. I can already tell a change that's happening, Sue and I both. But I had a breakthrough just already. What is this? We're January, right? Already in this month, I've had a breakthrough in fasting that I've never had in 40 years of being a Christian. Something happened. I'll tell you about it later. Just already. I mean, I can tell change. See, right now, I can tell the change that's happening on the inside. There's some insights that I've already gotten. Not just in January, but these last few months of extended prayer that I've never had in 40 years. Now, right now, I can feel the changes that are happening on the inside. It won't be long. You'll be able to tell the changes on the outside. And then it won't be long after that, the world will be able to tell, because Christ will be manifest by the power of his Spirit, because that's where we're going. And he's given us precise instructions. Yes, sir, that brings me right around. So I want to give you some helps today to help you get caught up, if you would like to. Now, nobody's going to force you. The Lord himself is not going to take a whip and force you to do anything. It's all based on your hunger, based on your desire. But here's some helps for you. Number one, the Lord has given 8 consecutive prophecies through Pastor Bronk that we've kind of summarized under the banner of Bring Me Gold. It started with Bring Me Gold. There's 8 of them. And they have been put together all in one MP3. It takes close to an hour to listen to them. Bronk has made them available at the homepage of his website. You can either download it or just play it. And now the Prayer Center has made that same MP3, the combined one, available at Dave's website, daveroberson.org. Bronk's website, if you don't know, is bronkflint.org. And at Dave's website, you know, on the homepage, it's got that wonderful picture of Dave on it. But over on the right-hand side, there's kind of a box. And near the bottom of the box, it says Learn More. If you click there, it takes you to another page with another link at the bottom of that page. And if you click that, it'll take you to the MP3. Now, many of us have set a goal. I'm not saying this is the Holy Ghost. I'm just saying many of us, because there's so much instruction and so much truth in those 8 prophecies. Many of us have set a goal to hear them 30 times while we're praying in other tongues. Now, I myself have got a little hash mark thing that I've got going in my notepad. I'm at number 10, okay? Others are way, some have already done 30. But I listen to it and I pray in the Spirit. And but it's there available for you. You don't have to do 30 times. You don't have to do anything. I'm not your Lord. You're never going to have to give account to me. Now, another help. Many of you don't... Let's see, get in. Be nice. Well, again, there were so few here at the 8:30 service. I have been a Christian 40 years. I have heard many outstanding messages in my life by many men of God and women of God. But after 40 years, now that's no exaggeration. I got saved in 1980. This is 2020, okay? In 40 years, I heard things this morning I have never heard. Truths. There were some nuggets in there that I went, whoa. And when you hear one, it's like it opens revelation knowledge from Genesis to maps. Wham. When it's real truth, to me, it always goes both ways. Genesis to Revelation. I said, oh my goodness. It opened up so many good thoughts about where we're going. Okay. Now, last Sunday night, we had a handful of people at Calling in the Lost. And I believe the title of that message was something like Purging Infirmities That Are Not Sin. See, I know some people that's been around here a long time. Y'all notice I'm trying to take my gaze everywhere. So I'm not, but there's some are going, oh, this stuff about purging. I haven't been in sin for years. I don't need no purging. Uh-huh. See, the Holy Spirit also helps us with our infirmities. It is true that you're set free from sin the day one that you get born again. The new nature does that. But the Holy Spirit also helps us with our infirmities. Sunday night's message a week ago was on that subject, where there were two infirmities, two things, two wrong thinkings, two long-standing strongholds in Peter that were holding him back from the revival that God intended to do through him to the Gentiles. And I'll just tell you right now, if Peter didn't get purged of it, God couldn't have used him. Not he'd use somebody else, but he was never going to be able to use Peter until Peter was purged of those strongholds. Now that was Sunday night. And I know most of you, many of you don't go back and listen to those. Some do. So what I'm saying in a nutshell is God is not... When Dave was teaching the Born Again Trail, those of us that were here, see, people look at that series and they go, 60 messages? Oh my Lord, 10 volumes? No, 6 volumes with 10 messages in each volume. And I think that's a lot. That is the condensed version, is it not? That took years. I mean, that is the condensed version. I mean, the Lord in that season allowed Dave to, I mean, slowly, say it with me, slowly. I mean, we thought, surely by now, it's been 5 weeks, surely. He's going to move on to the next point. No, he's still on the same point, you know. But, and it, wonderful, hallelujah. And now we have that, that's a Rembrandt, a Picasso. But it seems to me, see, if it was really up to me, I would like to teach last Sunday night's message this morning because I know it's so important and I know you need it in your arsenal and I know that it speaks to every person that's really pressing into revival. But he's not allowing me to do that. He's not allowing me to do it. We're on a fast train. I believe we're going to see stuff quickly this year. So I think quickly. And so get on board. Get on board. So anyway, I want to, another tool for you. Okay, I mentioned the prophecies, those eight, that MP3, it's available to you. Well, all of the messages are available to you. Go back and listen to Sunday nights. For God's sake, listen to Alan's this morning at 8:30. I'm telling you, there is some stuff in there that I doubt you've ever heard before. And it answers so much. So, hallelujah. Is that enough, Lord? Okay. Now, right on the other hand, he is so pleased with you. Don't take this as a... Listen, my daddy loved me. My O.R. Carpenter, now he's a strong, strong man. He loved me. He really did. I mean, he always loved me. Boy, it doesn't mean some days I didn't go to the woodshed. And our Father tells us, he said, those that I love, I chasten. Those that I love, I King James says scourge, New Testament, you know, our language would say I spank them. Well, every now and then we need a spanking. Well, don't take it the wrong way. Take it the right way. Your Father who loves you, and he wants you in this revival, and he's trying to get all of us there as quick as he can. Now, I got to take my own medicine. I don't miss any services. And I don't mean just here. Bronx, gyms, and any other, Jim Martin, any others that the Lord would have me do, you know. Plus, Sue knows. I'm praying at home, praying here. More fasting than I'm going to do more. He's already told me I'm more, you know, more fasting this year than I've ever done. I see. I believe this. I believe we are on a fast track this year into signs and wonders like we have never seen before. And I'll just throw something else in there. I believe Pastor Dave Roberson's mind is going to be fully restored to him. And I believe he's going to be here leading the charge into the revival in Jesus' name. I believe that. I'm looking for the day he walks right up in the middle of one of our services. I hope it's Alan's. No, I'm not. I don't care. I'd love it if it was mine. Dave, just to walk up more anointed, you know, with that clear eye, walk up and, you know, just Dave. Dave 2.0. More anointed, more funny, more revelation, knowledge, more power. Just walk up and tap me on the shoulder. Say, Gary, you can sit down. I'll take it from here. Hallelujah. Trust me, that'll be a great day for Gary Carpenter. That'd be a great day. I have no aspirations here. I don't care at all. I just want to be used. However the Lord will use me. Okay. Okay. Open up to 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. Start in verse 11. Now the title, I don't always know the title of the message. I do know this one. It's called Fight the Good Fight of Faith. And it comes from this passage that we're going to look at. Fight the Good Fight of Faith. Now, okay, I'm going to throw out a nugget or two here. Fight the good fight of faith. Why is it a fight? Am I not born again? Am I not a child of God? What do you mean fight a good fight? You know, I mean, I'm a child of God. Shouldn't this just come naturally to me? Listen to Alan Taylor's message. I'm not going to give you the answer. I don't care if you never have it. If you don't want it, don't listen to it. I ain't going to tell you. And you can't pay me after either. Serious. I'm serious as a box of rocks because I want us all to go into revival. There is an absolute reason why it's a fight. If you really get what the Lord said through Alan today, you'll be more of a warrior than you've ever been before because you'll understand the fight you're in more than you ever have before. There is a real reason why it's a fight. Now, he'll give you some of it in this message, but you really, am I telling the truth? You already know. That I was listening to that. I kept nudging Angie going, you just don't know what's going on here. Because I knew I already had this typed up. My goodness, part one, and here's part two. Okay. I should read the verse, shouldn't I? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many, many witnesses. Now, in America, I think it's really important that you, when it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, let's see what things he's talking about. So back up just a little bit. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, food and clothing, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, and Pastor Dave did an excellent job there, they set their will to be rich. And Sue knows I did in our early days. I already had it mapped out. I was going to be, we were already making six figures back in the 70s between the two of us. And we had it mapped out. We were going to be millionaires by a certain age. Every decision I made was about money. Everything. Every decision had to do with where we live, what kind of car we drive, our future, how we're going to educate our kids. Money, money, money. Well, I know what it is to set your will to be rich. But look what this says. I'm going to say it that way since that's what it really says in the Greek. But they that set their will to be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, meaning at one time they were strong in the faith, but they have erred from it now, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I should have started a verse or two earlier, because we need verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Now, why are they destitute of the truth? They have this doctrine. They supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. From such, withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So when he says here in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, are you a child of God? If you're a child of God, raise your hand, please. Child of God, flee these things. Flee these things. And an alarm went off in my spirit. I wonder if that's the same word, flee, as over in James 4, verse 7. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. It is. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you look that word flee up, it has the connotation of as in terror. See, when you submit yourselves to God and God shows up, when God's got your back, when God's the one that shows up, when you submit to him, the devil flees in terror. When someone starts preaching to you that gain is godliness, flee in terror. That doesn't preach well in America. Now, we're not against prosperity. God's going to, out of this very room, there's going to be millionaires raised up to help finance the gospel. For sure, those in the hearing audience, the viewing audience, there's going to be those that God raises up to handle millions. But it's not because they believe gain is godliness. They see money as a tool to be put to work like a mechanic would use a wrench on a car. these men and women will use money as a tool to finance the gospel. Now see, your natural man, again, referring a little bit back to Alan's message, your natural man will never, ever, ever agree with that. The natural man wants comfort, safety. It wants to be richer than you, richer than your neighbor. The natural man wants more. There's no end. You know, in the Old Testament, it says the barren womb and the horse leech never say enough. More, more, more. That's the flesh. It's like that rancher that says, I don't want all the land. I just want the land that's next to mine. Well, there's no end to that. Because once you get that land, the next land is next to yours. See, there's no end to that. You got to, that's the flesh. That's the flesh thing. But know that inside of you, now here's part of the war, inside of you, notice how it's worded, but thou, O man of God. Paul, on each one of us, inside of us, there is a man, a woman, a child of the living God. And that's the one the Holy Spirit talks to. All of the epistles, all of these New Testament letters are written to that person. Not your natural brain. Because your natural brain will never go along with this. It has to be forced to go along with this. See? There is a man of God within every Christian that the Bible speaks to. The Bible is not speaking to the old man, the unrenewed soul, or the flesh. The flesh, with its passions and lusts, including the unrenewed portions of the mind, that part of us that loves pleasure more than God, doesn't say we didn't love God, it says we love pleasure more than God. That part of us that loves the world, that part of us that wants to be rich for riches' sake, that's the part of us that has to be crucified every day. And again, like Alan was saying this morning, it's not, God didn't intend for you to tame it. He intended for you to crucify it. And that means daily. Well, who crucifies the flesh? Many Christians are waiting for God to do it. We're going to get to it later. Those that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Who did it? Those that are Christ. We do it. It's the man of God, the person that you really are. You're the one that puts that flesh on the cross, including the passions and the lusts. God has given each of us complete and absolute victory over the flesh. You've got to receive that part and understand it. I like in one of the prophecies that we mentioned earlier, that bring me gold. God says, from day one, I established you head and shoulders above sin. Sin has no dominion over you. Period. But he left it to our free will what we will choose. He did that with Adam. You remember Dave telling us if God was ever going to slap somebody down to stop them from sinning, he would have done so with Adam in the garden. Here's Adam headed toward the tree, smacko. But see, above all things, God prizes that free will. He does not. God could have made robots to worship him. God could have made robots to be a slave to him. That is not what he wants. He wants sons and daughters who love him, choose to serve him. Glory to God. So he left it up to our free will. What will we choose? Are we going to live after the Spirit, that new man on the inside, or are we going to live after the flesh? The true disciples, those who are Christ's, the disciplined followers of Christ, let me say it this way, those who are becoming like their master, they choose to crucify the flesh daily. O man of God, flee these things that the world prizes so highly. Flee them. It is a fight. And it will always be a fight. You've got to get this. It'll always be a fight as long as we are wearing these mortal bodies. Now, the last two services I did, he let me repeat a little bit. It took years. I could not understand why he left us in these mortal bodies. I couldn't understand it. He changed our spirit, but left us at these things that love sin. I didn't get it at all. But finally, thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost and meditating the Word. I finally got it. He had no choice. See, Jesus said, no man puts new wine into an old bottle. But that's exactly what he had to do, because it's only because we have these bodies from the earth that we have authority in the earth. We are the body of Christ. He had to leave us in these that are from this earth in order to have authority here. We are his body. We are his bones. We are his flesh. He has no body but ours. He had to leave us in these. So that means the warfare, this body is not going to be changed. I don't care how much he uses you, how much you love God, how heavenly minded you get, you're still going to be wearing a body from this earth, and there's still going to be a fight. Jesus had to fight it. He was tempted in all points like we are. That means he was wearing a body just like yours, but without sin. He didn't get crucified the one time that he went to the cross. Now, that only happened once, but he lived a crucified life every day. He put that flesh on the cross every day, and he's telling us, you, those that follow me, you're going to take up your cross daily. Daily. And for me, I don't know about you, multiple times a day. It is a fight. It will always be a fight. As long as we're wearing these mortal bodies. And I will tell you this from my personal experience. I'm 73 now. My mother says, who's going to be 99 this week. She says, Gary. Son, no, she says, son. If it's Gary, I'm in trouble. Son. If I complain, a little backache or something. Son, you're only 72 is what she's been saying. Now she'll say, you're only 73. I will thank God that I feel better on my 73rd birthday than I did 20 years ago. I really do. I was 53 when I went to Africa. 53 the first time I went to South Korea. And it was a fight. It was really tough. My body was giving me lots of trouble. I'm much better now than I was then. Went anyway, though. Anyway. Hallelujah. Oh, now, I can tell you from my own personal experience. Listen, I've been around a while. I've been a Christian 40 years. I've been on the planet 73 years. Your flesh can be trained to a certain measure. My flesh. Let me just read it the way I wrote it. I have learned that the fight can become less intense in some areas over time. My flesh has not had an alcoholic drink in 40 years. Now, he delivered me from alcohol supernaturally. I never had a single withdrawal. Okay? So I know what it is to be an alcoholic. I know what it is to be addicted to alcohol. I also know what it is to be free. But I also know that I could become addicted to it again. All I got to do is start feeding my body alcohol. And it wouldn't be very long. It'd be addicted right back again. But I do know, I'm telling you from experience, even when we have real pressure, when things are tough, you know, pressure, y'all know pressure, right? Yes. I never even think of a drink. Doesn't even occur to me. Now it's been so long, and I smoked for eternity in 3 days, you know. But now it's been a decade and a half, roughly, since I've had a cigarette. Boy, I remember the warfare. It was intense. It wasn't daily, it was minutely. Minute by minute. I mean, it was hand-to-hand combat, bayonet training. I'm telling you, it was kung fu fighting, everything you want to describe. I'm telling you, the war was on that one. And it was, I think, a year and a half before I ever had a day that I didn't think of a cigarette. But now it's been a decade and a half. I don't ever think of them anymore. I remember the first time that happened, and I ran to Sue, and I went, hey, you know that thing that just happened? I never even thought of a cigarette through the whole thing. Not one time. You just don't know. That was But I know what it is to be free now. But I also know I could let myself get addicted again. Same. Now you can take it on to any. Listen, pornography is just another addiction. I can't speak for you women, but I know in the male, when you watch, there are chemicals released in the brain, probably endorphins, and I don't know what else. I'm not that educated on it, but I know that's why you like it. Even if you don't do the physical things to cause any kind of release. Whew, that was pretty good. Okay. Just the watching. I've read articles. Just the watching releases. There's chemical release of pleasure in the brain, and you want it again. Then you want it again. Trouble of it is, it's like any other drug. You know, to get the same high, you got to have a more intense thing, and then eventually what you watch may become what you do, and then now you're in real trouble. Okay? But it's an addiction, and abstinence is a wonderful thing. You do know there's a verse that says, abstain even from the appearance of evil. Abstinence is a wonderful thing. And abstinence also causes your body to start becoming cleansed of those chemicals. And you'll find it's just not like it was. That craving's not like it was. You're free. Okay. But the body, what I'm trying to tell you, the body itself will go back to it anytime. It has no moral compass. Now, I say it like this just for effect. My body thinks adultery, and I'm 73, okay? But my body thinks adultery is a wonderful thing. We should do that before lunch, which is only 30 minutes. I'm just trying to make a point. It'll do anything I let it do. If I let my emotions become the boss of me, I might kill somebody. My body would think it's a good thing. My body likes to watch revenge movies, you know? It's not just my body, the unrenewed part of me. You got to be careful with that stuff, what you feed yourself. So let me read this little paragraph here. It is a fight. It will always be a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Notice the very first thing he said up there. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Oh, right before that. So he said, flee these things and follow after. The first one is what? Righteousness. Boy, there's that new nature right there. See, Christ in you on everything has given you the green light, red light, yes or no. Learn that, follow that. That is being led by the Spirit of God. It's those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God in Romans chapter 8. I know it's got a capital S there. It should not be a capital S. That is not talking about that there is a leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit, but that's not the subject matter there. The subject matter there is being led by the new nature so you're set free from sin. You got to learn to follow righteousness. Okay, it's a fight. So, my flesh has hardly desired an alcoholic drink or a hit of nicotine in many years. My fight, quote, today in those areas are nothing compared to the warfare I experienced during the months of the nicotine withdrawal symptoms. I've already told you that was like hand-to-hand combat, face-to-face bayonet fighting. But today, now, if the thought even occurs to me, it's just the war is about that quick. No. That's not who I am. Nope. And that's gone. Not at all like the fight I had to fight in the beginning. So the body can be retrained to the place it is not constantly demanding things that it could become addicted to. See, in my lifetime, I had become free from addiction to alcohol and nicotine. My body no longer demands those things. I'm going to give one more. I don't think I have it on here. In the context, in much measure, and I only God could tell me how much, I've been delivered from the love of money to a large extent, at least compared to who I used to be. Because the guy I used to be would follow money. Are you kidding? You offer me $50,000, I'll move to Timbuktu, live right next to you. I wouldn't even care I wouldn't even check if there's a good church in town where my kids could go. I mean, $50,000, are you kidding? It's amazing. Though sometimes I almost think that I've been too much delivered from it. But there's a difference. There's a big difference between you serving money and money serving you. Big difference. That's not the message today. Now, the message today is fight the good fight of faith. It's always going to be a fight. Now, listen. For the true Christian, there is a seed on the inside of you. Go ahead and look at this one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Let's look at this seed that's on the inside of you. I'm going to read it just how it is in the King James first. 1 John chapter 3. Let's look at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That verse was just blind to me because it made no sense in the natural for many years until I finally got a hold. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I got a hold of a book of someone who is. And I found out, and it's not just that one guy, all of them agree. This is one reason I like an amplified Bible. It amplifies. It tells us what the Greek language actually said. Because that Greek language just has a lot more, there's a lot more content in every sentence than what we have in English. The tenses of the words there actually says this. Whosoever is born of God does not habitually commit sin. We might say it this way. They don't live a lifestyle of sin. Okay? For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot habitually, as a lifestyle, commit sin. Because he's born of God. Okay? Now see, John, in the very next chapter, chapter 2, he starts it off, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Well, we really don't have to. Dave taught us that line by line. Okay? But notice the very next thing. This is 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin. Now here, it's in the singular. If any man sin. A sin. You make a mistake. Let's do it worse. You sinned. But it's not a lifestyle of sin. Okay? And you repent quickly. Well, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That word advocate is just another word for lawyer. See, most lawyers, if you go to court and you hire a lawyer, most of the time the lawyers on earth, they plead your case. When the first thing that happens, how do you plead? Most lawyers will tell you plead innocent. Yeah. This one tells you to plead guilty. Because you are guilty. What a lawyer. Thanks. I've got this lawyer. Whose side are you on? You go to the judge. This guy's guilty. What? But then right after that, he points to the payment that's already been made by his blood. Oh, I'll take that lawyer. I'll take that lawyer, yes. He's guilty. But that sin has already been paid for by my blood. Boy, it's 1 John 1:9. You're not taking that verse away from me. Not taking that away from me. If any man sin, we have an advocate. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's like you never did it. Your robe is white again. Whew. Now, as I was preparing this lesson, he had me put in this warning. I'm looking directly at the camera, and if you need it, Listen to me, because there's so much false teaching going on out there today on the airwaves and the TV, and they're telling people, you shouldn't sin. They tell them that, but they say, if you do, don't worry about it. All your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. You're so forgiven, you don't even have to really repent. You're so forgiven, you don't have to even tell God you're sorry. All of that is a lie. That's just an absolute lie. Listen to the words of the Master. Listen to Jesus, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Well, that's not the world. The world's not calling him Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? These are people in the church. But he'll say to them, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Now listen, depart from me. Why? Ye that work iniquity. Listen, he sets you free from sin. If you are living, this is a warning, if you are living a habitual lifestyle of fornication, if you're living together with somebody as being married but not married, if you're living a lifestyle of being drunk all the time, drug abuse, being a thief or a greedy person, that's your lifestyle, be warned. There's a good chance you don't have his seed abiding in you. According to 1 John, he says you can't continue to live, you can't live a lifestyle of sin and have his seed in you. And the way he said it to me, based on what we just read out of Matthew, you'll either depart from iniquity now, or you're going to depart from him then. Because he'll say, depart from me. Back to our lesson, end of warning. Repent. Repent and believe the gospel. Tell him you're sorry, but change. Okay, back to our lesson. That word seed in the Strong's, let me read the verse again. Whoever is born of God does not habitually commit sin, for his seed, see that word seed, his seed remaineth in him. He cannot habitually live in sin because he's born of God. Well, that word seed is Strong's G4687. You'll recognize the word. It's sperma. Same where we get our word for sperm. And it simply means something that is sown, that is a seed. It includes the male sperm. By implication, it could refer to offspring. My children, my seed. Okay. But what is sperma? What is this life-giving seed that John is talking about? Now you need to see this one in your Bible. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. What is the sperma? What is this? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Still here. Actually hear pages in a church. Hallelujah. Not just fingers on glass. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible, see that word? Seed, same word. Actually, that's spora there, but it's the same idea. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So we know it's incorruptible seed, but what is it? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Last Sunday message, we talked. I see the sequence that he's delivering this in. I'm telling you, he is building a wall of revelation, brick by brick, stone by stone, line by line. Last Sunday, we talked about this living word. It's alive. It is literally alive, like a corn seed is alive. Okay? But that corn, you can take that corn seed and lay it on your coffee table for 1,000 years, and it'll never produce nothing. But there's life in it. You can lay your Bible on your coffee table for 1,000 years and it'll never produce nothing. It's got to be sown in your heart. It's got to be believed. But if you sow it in your heart and you tend it there and that seed remains in you, you will bear fruit. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now let's get a second witness. Go to James chapter 1, look at verse 18. I want you to see that the seed that you're born again from is the word of God. Now, James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will begat he us. You know what begat means? Like a father begats a child, right? of his own will begat he us with what? With the word of truth. It's the word of God. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We are a new creature. A new creation. Now, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus. How does he begat us with the Word of truth? We hear the gospel somehow. Somebody preached it to us, or we read it through a tract or something, but we hear the gospel. We hear the words. And when we believe the gospel, we receive him, the living word, into our heart. And at that moment, that's called the new birth. The seed, the sperma. It comes by way of the written word, but in truth, it is the living word. And it's Christ in you, your hope of glory. Excuse me, my feet are wanting to take off. It's just, man, that gets my... Now go to John chapter 1. Let's look at this. John chapter 1. See, this seed, though, has to abide in you. Notice how John worded that. He said that you can't commit... He can't habitually live in sin because his seed remaineth. Keep that word remaineth in your thought. We'll come back to it here in a minute. If words mean anything, you could have something remaineth, or you could have something departeth. Isn't that right? John chapter 1, look at verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, see, him is the word of God. Him is that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, all things were made by him, without him was not anything made that was made. And in the Greek it says, no, not one single thing. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, notice, which were, what's that next word? Born. You didn't join Christianity. You're either birthed in it or you're not in it. This is a family, not a religion. You can't join it. You can't give money to belong to it. You can't do good works to get into it. I don't care you. I don't care if you're raised in church or raised in the pig pen. You must be born again. Whether you're a highly paid dentist or doctor, or you slop hogs for a living, there's nothing wrong with that. My grandpappy slopped hogs. We raised hogs. I'm just saying, it doesn't matter what class strata you come from, brown, white, round-eyed, slant-eyed, doesn't matter. You must be born again. And when you received him, it says, when you receive him, that's how he gave you the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Not of blood. Got nothing to do with your relatives. Not of the will of the flesh. Hey, my daddy had a gleam in his eye. That's why I'm here, but that's the flesh, Gary. Nor of the will of man, my daddy again. This time, but of God. It was his idea to birth me. Thank God for God. Thank God for John 3:16, that even in this fallen, sin-sick world, God so loved us. He so loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Gave his only begotten Son, that those that believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's been 40 years, and it's still a wonder to me. Still a wonder to me. I've got too many verses. You're in John. You're close. Go over to John 6:63. Boy, this is... Talk about the seed that remains in us. John 6:63. And he was talking to the most religious people of the day. But he said, boy, he said it plain. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. I just wish right here I could just play Alan's message for you. Just lock the doors right there. The flesh profits nothing. Your natural brain will think of 1,000 ways to serve God without dying to the flesh. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words, boy, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. God. He has begot us with the word of truth. He has begotten us with this living word. Who brought this gospel to planet Earth? Jesus Christ did. It did not exist on earth before he came. I just remind you of last week's message, John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Listen, in the Old Testament, it says Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Moses found grace in the sight of the Lord. Others found grace in the sight of the Lord. But that's not the grace that Jesus brought. Because Noah couldn't be born again. Moses, David, they could not be born again. They couldn't. There was no way. God did all he could for them by his grace, but it's not the grace that Jesus brought. Oh, I'll never forget when Dave broke that passage in John 17 where he says, the way Dave said it, the standing of sonship is the grace of God that Jesus brought. That standing of sonship. When he says, I go to, in my Father's house, there's many mansions, it should be rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. He's not talking about some kind of mansion all fancy up in heaven. He's saying, look, I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And it's not servants' quarters. It's a place of sonship. A room. You're going to have your own room as a son in my Father's house. Glory to God. Oh, the verse, the glory that thou gavest me, I have given them. There I finally came. The glory. Dave says, what is that glory? It is the standing of sonship. Moses didn't have access to that. Noah, King David, none of the Old Testament prophets had access to it. But thank God we do. See the old, be turning to 1 Peter again, chapter 1. The Old Testament prophets saw this dispensation. He saw our time from afar off. But they also saw that it was not to them, but to us. Because Christ, the seed, had not yet come. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me read 10 and 11 to you. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace... They prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. See, the grace of God is being born again, becoming a child of God. And that only came after the resurrection of Christ. He is called the firstborn from the dead, not the first raised from the dead. There were people in the Old Testament raised from the dead. Lazarus had been raised from the dead. Others had been raised. No, he is the first of a new species of human. That's why he's called the last Adam. See, when you receive Christ, you died to the first Adam. You were buried with him in baptism, Romans 6 tells you. You were buried with Christ in his baptism. But then you were resurrected. Just like he was to new life, you've been resurrected to new life. That's why you're a new creature and Jesus is your Adam now. That's the man of God that Paul was writing to Timothy. But that man of God is housed within a natural brain that really is not going to go very far. It has to get down. You know, here we're at servants upon horses again. You know, you're the spirit man, the real man of God, the person that you really are, the born again you is the one that's got to be in charge. Servants upon horses. See, your soul, the natural part of you, the natural brain has got to step down off get down off that horse. The horse represents your life, your time of existence on planet Earth. Both of y'all can't be in the saddle. Both of y'all. Both of y'all, I can't help it. I'm from Pottawatomie County. Both of y'all can't be in the saddle at the same time. And for sure, the spirit man's not supposed to be walking. Spirit man's supposed to be in charge. And your soul is really like an attendant running along beside, what would you have me do? But the spirit man gets his instruction from the Lord. Let me read this again. This grace of being born again as a child of God has come to us after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He's the firstborn of a new species of human on earth. See, we turn into Matthew 13. We are the good seed that has been sown among the tares. Matthew 13. Jesus explaining a parable, verses 37 and 38. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. He's the last Adam. The field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's you. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Well, that's everybody else. See, all the promises of God in this Bible, all these promises, all this writing is to the seed, the man of God, to the real you on the inside. You're the offspring of God, born of his spirit by the divine seed, the word of God. All of these epistles are written to this new man, this born again man. The man who must fight the good fight of faith while living this temporary existence on planet Earth in a fallen body. So Peter continues his exhortation. I probably should have had you stay in 1 Peter. Go back there again. We're getting near the end, believe it or not. I'm not telling you how near. Gary, this is a lot of scripture. Good. You need a lot of scripture. I need a lot of scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 16. I'll tell you ahead of time, this is Peter's version of Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is how Peter stated the same truth. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Notice, what part of you is he talking about there? Your mind, your soul. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As what kind of children? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Gary, don't go back to drinking. Gary, don't go back to smoking. Gary, don't go back to serving money. Gary, don't you dare turn on that pornography, even at 73. Gary, don't you this, and don't go back to it. In Philippians, Paul said, where we have attained, let us therefore walk. Just don't be going backwards. Okay? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. We're not ignorant anymore. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Now see, we're building on last week or the week before where we talked about present your bodies. Next, what's the next word? Holy. You can present this thing holy? Yes, you can. And then is when he calls it acceptable. We are his body on earth. We're wondering, well, why go through this purging? Why do we have to go through this purging? I don't understand. Listen, present. Why do you think those words are in there? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. What's the next word? Y'all know it? Acceptable. Well, if you don't present it holy, what does that mean? It's not acceptable. He can't use you. Well, he can, but he'll use you in the gifts. And that's where the church, Even the best has pretty well. Hey, if we ever see a gift floating around, you know, a gift with, oh, it's good that we be here. Let us build a tabernacle and stay on this mountain. And from God's point of view, you're playing with a toy as a child. Jesus wasn't limited. Now, thank God for all the gifts. I am not belittling the gifts. We're supposed to covet the best gifts. But we're not to be limited by the gifts. Jesus wasn't limited by the gifts. He didn't wake up in the morning going, gee, I hope the gift of healing is working in me today. Come on. He'd come like a waiter at a fine restaurant with that towel. They don't have those at Burger King, but I've seen movies where they have that towel over there, you know. Jesus would come like that from the Father's table, and he'd just say, what would you have me do for you? Well, you need opened eyes. You need healing in your body. You need your uncle saved. What is it you need? I've got it for you. Now, see, that's a mature son, and that's where he's trying to get us. Yes, sir. This is a previous lesson again, but he's going to give it to you anyway, even though I'd make you go listen to it. Everyone knows Mark chapter 4. The seed that was sown on good ground brought forth fruit, did it not? Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. But it brought forth fruit, even 30-fold would be fruit. But see, in John 15, it says, you're pruned, you're purged, you're clean. Clean is the word. You're clean through the word I've spoken to you. But my Father will prune you so you can bring forth more fruit. Well, why do I have to go through this wall of fire? More fruit. He wants to see the blind eyes open, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the cripples to be made normal, legs to grow out on national TV, where the whole world has to sit there and watch, and we can say, Jesus is alive. Jesus is Lord. Let's read Peter. This is Peter's version of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Get your thinking straight. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation, because as it is written, be you holy for I am holy. Peter is talking about fighting the good fight of faith. So we actually live holy. But notice this instruction involves the mind, not the spirit. Gird up the loins of your mind. So you don't have to turn there. You know this one by heart. So Paul said it this way to the Romans, same teaching, but Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Don't go back to the former things, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Same thing. Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. And Paul says, renew the mind. It's talking about the same thing. You've got to start believing what the word of God says to you, O man of God. Amen. One of those prophecies, again, one of those eight consecutive prophecies. You don't know your significance. You keep treating your thing like this buddy of yours that's so flawed, but you like him anyway. He's just okay, but You consider yourself to be like that flawed best or flawed friend that you have. You don't know your significance. You don't know who you are. You've been born of God. Flee these things, old man of God. Pursue righteousness and all the things that he said there. Gird up the loins of your mind, and renewing of your mind mean the same thing. And Jesus just said, believe the gospel. Believe you're born again. Believe you're a child of God. Believe you've been made free from sin. Take dominion over the flesh. Say no to it. The grace of God teaches us to deny. That means say no to ungodliness and worldly lust. Okay, I promised you this. I'm going to quit here, I think. I need you to pinch together. Pinch in Pottawatomie County. It's pinch. But pinch together these two places. One of them is 1 John 3:9. The other one is John 15:7. I want to show you something. Now this is, you know, Dave used to say, he used to teach us how you really meditate the word and to get revelation knowledge. He said in the early days, and I was just like this, I'll get out If I started studying the Bible, it wouldn't be very long. I'd have out my Strongs. Well, it didn't have enough answer. I'd have out my Woost. I'd have out my Weeks. I'd have out all my reference books. Pretty soon, I had my Vines. Sue would she can tell you, back in the days before we had digital, I had books. I had them all over that table. My Wooks, my Strongs, my Vines, my all these different ones. And when I got through with all that, and the commentaries, and when I got through with it, I still didn't know what it meant. Dave says, that's not how you do it. You assimilate the books. You read the books. Just feed it into you. Just read it. Pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And eventually the revelations will begin to come. And he'll draw from all over the New Testament and really the Old Testament too. And he'll start putting it together. And he says, the day will come, you'll go, well, you know, if this verse means this in this book, well, that means that word in that verse over in that book must mean this. Then you go to your Woost, your Weeks, your Strongs. To verify. And it does. Well, that happened again yesterday as I was writing this. It happened yesterday. Because I was writing this lesson. And it all of a sudden it came back to me, these two verses. So let's go to 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth. That word remaineth. His seed remaineth in him. And he cannot habitually live in sin because he is born of God. And then it came to me, I went, what? John 15:7, he says, if you abide in me and my words, could I say seed? If you abide in me and my seed, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And I went, if I'm getting this right, that word remaineth and that abide, I wonder if that's the same word. It is. It is. It's absolutely the same word. And it means, it's menos, M-E-N-O-S, and it means to stay, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, and to treat it as your own. Oh my God. His words have to abide, remain, endure, be present. So, the seed is the word. The word is the seed. Christ is the word. The word is Christ. We must abide in him, and his words must abide in us. They must remain in us. And as that happens, that is a born again spirit and a renewed mind, a mind that thinks the way he does. See? So, I had a lot more verses here. I'm just going to read a couple of them because I have a lot more. Are you a disciple? Are you his? Let me give you a couple of verses. I'll just read them to you. We're out of time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows, the Lord knoweth, them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Those people that came in Matthew 7, Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in thy name. We've cast out devils. We've done many wondrous things in thy name. He says, you're not going to pull the wool over his eyes. He knows whether you're his or not. And he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now that word work there is the same thing in the Greek. It means a continual, habitual lifestyle. Okay? What about a second witness? Ephesians 4:24. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Who puts him off? Which, in case you couldn't hear him, we have to put him off. Because he is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That old man, that natural mind that Alan was talking about this morning, the wrapper around the spiritual brain, he's got to just be put off. You can't listen to him. He thinks like the world. You can educate him. He'll think more like the world. He'll always be limited to the world. I really recommend Alan's message to you. But he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There is a spirit on the inside of you that has access to all the wisdom of God. That one gets taught by the Holy Ghost. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. One more. I can't stop without this last verse. Are you his? I'm going to ask the question. Are you? I'm asking Gary too. Gary, are you his? I'll read it to you. Galatians 5, verses 24 and 25. Gary, are you his? Well, they that are Christ's. Would you call that his? They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now that's why this year I'm going to come full circle back around to those 8 consecutive prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk. There is explicit instruction that the Lord is wanting to take us through this pruning, purging process. It's real simple. Why? That we bear more fruit. I highly recommend those to you. I also highly recommend every message since we started this journey. It's been a few months. They're all available. The Sunday night messages, the 8:30 messages. You need every stone in your wall. Sometimes I built the stone walls myself. Sometimes you got to have a couple of little stones to support the next big stone. And if you don't have them, you're going to have a really shaky wall. Hallelujah. If you're living with your girlfriend, if you're living with your boyfriend, cohabitating together, you're in real trouble. Don't listen. Paul said again, let no man deceive you. You're in real trouble. You guys need to stop living together. If you want to get married, get some good marriage counseling. Get saved. Get married and live together. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Over and over. Not just one verse, many verses on that. Now that's, I'm picking on fornicators. You could take... Are you involved in shady business practices? Are you doing it for greedy gain? You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Repent. Tell Jesus you're sorry and stop it. It won't hurt any of us. Listen, there's somebody that's going to hear this, that's going to get saved today. Let me repeat the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's been risen from the dead, this is your day. So just say it with me. Lord, I believe. Jesus, you are the Son of God. I believe that you've been raised from the dead. I believe that you paid the price for my sin. Lord, I receive you as my Savior. I'm asking you, forgive me, Lord. Come into my life. Come into my life and teach me from the inside out. From this day forward, Lord, you're my Lord. And whatever you say, that's what I do. I love you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.